This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:47 in the morning, you're listening to The Morning Run with Shazana Shaoning and Chen Li. Now, over the weekend, Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri announced that he would chair a special cabinet committee for protecting vulnerable groups to safeguard the welfare of children, persons with disabilities, women and senior citizens. The Prime Minister said that one of the key issues that the committee would address is the registration and operation of care centres under the Care Centres Act 1993.
The case of neglect and abuse of a 13-year-old child known as Bella at a care home has put a spotlight on the gaps in oversight and enforcement of such centres. However, the setting up of a special cabinet committee to protect vulnerable groups has raised eyebrows, as this has traditionally been seen as the purview of the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development, which also houses the Social Welfare Department.
Meanwhile, Minister Dato' Sri Rina Harun has been criticised for inaction over the case of Bella and has pointed out that the oversight of care centres is a cross-ministerial issue that also involves other ministries and agencies beyond KPWM. Now, will the formation of a special cabinet committee resolve these long outstanding welfare issues for vulnerable groups? Or is this yet another unnecessary layer of bureaucracy?
So for reactions to this move and a better understanding of interministerial coordination, we speak to YB Hanayo, MP for Sagambut. She was also the Deputy Minister of Women, Family and Community Development under the Pakatan Harapan government from 2018 to 2020. Hannah, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, you've criticised the recently announced Special Cabinet Committee on Vulnerable Groups as unnecessary. So can we ask you, when is it warranted to form a high-level committee to address policy issues?
First of all, I want to say that the case of the abuse of Bella is a serious one, and that's why it has received a lot of national attention. But the case of Bella is not an isolated case. There are many cases involving violation of rights and abuse of children in Malaysia. And that's the reason why when the Prime Minister was considering his cabinet and an appointment of ministers, I have issued a statement to say we need an agency for children. We need at least, you know, an agency or a minister for children, a ministry for children. And but that was not listened. And that's why, as a result, now the Prime Minister has to respond, because the Minister of Women, Rina Harun, has failed to respond to the cases to the case of Bella as early as last year. And I believe this is just another statement just to pacify the anger out there. But I know nothing much will come out of this, because this is supposed to be the core duty of Rina Harun.
So the KPWKM Minister, Rina Harun, has said that many issues concerning vulnerable groups are interministerial and therefore require the involvement of different ministries. What are the parameters of KPWKM's responsibility as the ministry of in charge of welfare of vulnerable groups?
There are many acts that are parked under the Ministry of Women for them to regulate, for them to enforce. I believe that if you want to set up a committee like this, the only situation that warrants such attention would be the issue of statelessness and citizenship, simply because that issue of citizenship and statelessness results in, you know, non-admission to hospitals. You are looking at medical treatment, you are looking at education, you are looking at, you know, just the core identity issues surrounding children. However, that has not been done. So when you suddenly set up a committee like this to look into registration of centres, when that is the duty of the Ministry of Women, we know that, you know, this is just an ad hoc fighting fire kind of response. They are not thinking properly. When we were in government, one of the things that Tun Dr. Mahathir did correctly was to put a very important minister holding this position. And so we had the Deputy Prime Minister looking into all these issues in our ministry. I believe because of that, people look at Dr. Wan Aziza very seriously. They take her when she chairs meeting. When we call for meeting, all the other ministries come. But you know, can you blame the ministry, or is this on the is this the flaw or the mistake of Rina Harun? From day one, her priority has been wrong. She has been focusing on women in business. When we said in Parliament, we said there's a whole ministry looking into entrepreneurship. Why are you focusing on women in business when there are vulnerable groups like children that require your attention? When you are talking about registration of care centres, you need to talk a lot to the housing ministry. I believe the ministry of the minister of women can sit down with the housing minister and just talk this out. There's no need to form a high level cabinet committee to look into this. You know, even if that fails, you have weekly cabinet meeting to highlight this issue. I really believe one of the reasons why Rina does not know what to do is because she has not met enough the stakeholders involved, the homes, the NGOs that are struggling with these issues. I, as the deputy minister, used to chair meetings like this, you know, looking into the approvals, looking into dual licensing, and in parliament, MPs have been raising this issue for her to take on. But, you know, this has not been done. Confinement home, nursing care, child protectors, increasing them. So the laws are there, but there's a whole restructuring that needs to happen within the ministry itself.
Okay, so Hannah, I want to be clear. You're not against special cabinet committees when they're required, right? Because we do have them in existence. For example, there's one on corruption, which is, of course, a national issue. But here the question is it due to a lack of coordinated response between the different stakeholders on, let's say, the issue of care centres and other welfare issues? Is that the reason for the breakdown?
I am not against this kind of committees. Like I said, one of these reasons you need to set up one will be to look at statelessness, right? Because that's really security, education, healthcare, all that together. But not for registration of care centre. That can easily be dealt with by the minister herself in our ministry.
So, Hannah, maybe we can go into that issue a little bit more in terms of what you see as the key policy issues that need to be addressed with regard to care centres. Where are the gaps in this particular system that need more regulatory framework?
Okay, so for you to get a license from the local council to operate this, you need to have at least, you know, three levels of approvals. You need the Ministry of Women to give you the consent, JKM. Number two, you need Bomba, and also you need Health Ministry. And then local council will give you a license. The challenge today is every local council has different SOPs to treat this kind of applications. And also the big hindrance really to encourage more registration is the fact that they require you to be parked at a corner unit, and a lot of the neighbours always complain when these homes are set up, these care centres are set up. So when there's objection, they have to move. And as a result, a lot of these care centres are operating using funds donated by public. They don't have a lot of money to keep paying deposit, to keep changing location and venue. So that's why the non-registration is high. These are issues that you need to sit down with Bomba. All this, I used to chair this kind of meeting, technical meetings with agencies and asking them, and the state ministers, they come regularly to Putrajaya, for example, at Selangor, Penang. We gather all the state ministers, sit down, and then we say, okay, local council is under your purview. How can we look at streamlining and making it easier and faster for these vulnerable groups to be taken care of by the NGOs? But I understand the NGOs are struggling to meet the minister involved.
You mentioned that we need to have an agency or ministry for children, or to focus on children's issue. But would the setting up of a standalone ministry add another layer of bureaucracy given the lack of coordination?
That's the reason why we talk about, you know, restructuring. Those days when we first set up this ministry, they are always looking at just dispensing welfare help to the vulnerable population. But today, it is increasingly challenging. It's not just about giving them 300 ringgit a month. You are looking at vulnerable kids requiring counselling, rehabilitation. And because the population has also grown, you are dealing with children. Let's just start with children first. 30% of our population, 9 million. But we don't even have a single agency to look into enforcing and upholding their rights. But for something like palm oil, you have an entire ministry looking at palm oil. Why? Because that's where the money is. So that's the reason we do not see children as money, as asset for this nation. So we treat them like, oh, you know, just park them under a small department under social welfare department. And as a result, when you park them under a small department, they don't have manpower to go and enforce. So you have the law to set up homes, but you have no not enough enforcement officers going out to check whether kids are violated or not. Mm-hmm. And when there is a complaint at the moment, because you don't have enough child protectors, there are only about 200 plus, the last we checked before leaving Putrajaya, 200 plus to look at 9 million population. With 9 million population, by right, we are supposed to have 1,500 child protectors. And these are all the main issues that we've been highlighting in Parliament, asking the Minister of Women continue to push, because work has started during our time. We need to complete that. We need to restructure, have an agency for children minimum, or a Ministry of Children looking into this. Because for as long as you don't see children as our greatest asset that will result in for this nation, you are going to continue to listen to cases of Bella being highlighted by NGOs on and off. When you hear their voices, you can highlight them. But there are many children who suffer today without a single sound because nobody knows that they are suffering.
Hannah, thank you so much for speaking to us. That was YB Hannah Yeo, MP for Sagambut, weighing in on the government's decision to establish a special cabinet committee for the protection of vulnerable groups and talking about the issue of care centres and what are the long-standing gaps in the regulation framework that should be addressed by the minister in charge.
And she really highlighted a very valid point, is that we only know of this case and occasionally other cases that come out on social media. But there must be many, many more that are not reported. And why is that the case? Why is that so? Is there not enough workers when it comes, or not enough people from ministries to actually look into the matter?
She points to a startling figure, the fact that there are only 200 child protectors under the ministry for a population of 9 million children. That's crazy when you think about it. Obviously, the ministry is severely understaffed in this regard.
Exactly. And like she says, we have a ministry for palm oil, but we don't have a ministry for children.
Yes, and I especially agree to that. We should have a Ministry of Children to look after specifically or more focus on the welfare of children instead of parking it under the women or KPWM PM.
All right. Suggestions that we hope the current policymakers are listening to. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.